Hello and welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. This series is brought to you by the Andreas Racing Association and the Manx Motorcycle Club, which runs the Manx Grand Prix here on the island. And generally, we've been talking to people who've made their dream come true. They've raced over here on the mountain course in some form or other. We've also spoken throughout the series as well to people who help organise events over here. So do take a look at some of the previous episodes. Today, we meet Eddie Wormald, who was a newcomer at MGP 2025, and he had an absolutely blistering event. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But first of all, I asked Eddie just to tell us how he first got started.
I sort of had a 125 road bike for a couple of years, but I never had a motocross background or anything like that. So yeah, had a 125 for a couple of years and then got my race license. I think it was sort of September of 2020. And then obviously went into the winter. So then we started racing, I think that following April, I think it was, in 2021. My dad had bikes. He always had bikes. He'd done the odd track day. And I always sort of grew up with a bit of a passion for motorbikes, always watched and followed like the MotoGP and everything. And we was actually at the NEC in Birmingham once when I think I was about 17. And I saw the ACU race license stand, and we sort of went over and was asking some sort of general questions. And then I think another sort of year had passed and we hadn't really done anything about it. COVID had hit, I was on furlough, and I was working with my dad, and we were working with somebody called Mark Woods, and he raced bikes at the Classic Club. And I sort of mentioned about getting my ACU license again, and he was there and he sort of knew somebody that worked for the ACU, so he made a phone call, and then that was it. We were sort of booked in to go to Mallory to do the race license, really.
So had your dad, I mean, obviously an interest in bikes, but had he ever done any racing?
No, none of my family really has. He'd done the odd track day, but he mainly just had road bikes, really.
So how did he feel about you doing it then?
You know, I think he was all right with it, because he's always liked bikes, but it was obviously something that he never got into. So I think it was just quite a new thing for all of us, really, and we weren't really sure where it was going to go. I always knew that I wanted to do the Isle of Man. I'd followed that for a few years previously, so I always knew that that's where I'd sort of aim to get.
And, you know, we're not talking about a great deal of time here. If you just start in 2021, it's only 2025 now. So you've made massive leaps in a really short space of time. How have you found the whole process?
It's been a roller coaster. We've had our fair share of bad luck over the years and sort of silly mistakes as you're sort of learning. But I've enjoyed it. I feel like I'm in a good place now. I've sort of went through a couple of years of just sort of crashing my brains out, and that's sort of stopped now the last couple of years. So I feel like now I'm just sort of chipping away at my times and things, and we're sort of getting quicker and quicker, sort of on the short circuits and on the roads as well. So I'm really enjoying it.
And you know, it's a question I do ask quite often, and everybody's answer is slightly different, but I guess it's trying to get into the mindset of what makes you want to do something like this. What is it, Eddie?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. That's quite a hard question, really. I don't know. I think it's just sort of the thrill of it and everything that sort of makes you want to keep doing it, and sort of like challenging yourself, trying to prove to yourself that you can sort of do it and things like that. I've always found like the best way as well, after crashing, sort of get straight back on the bike, you know, and try and get that confidence back, really.
Yeah, the confidence is a key thing, isn't it? And I think we can sometimes underestimate just how much of this sport is mentally driven.
Yeah, massively. I think that's actually the biggest part. I went through a couple of years, like I said, when I was having all those crashes, and once you lose that confidence, I found that was actually the hardest thing to get back. Just sort of knowing that you can do it. And yeah, surprising how much of an effect it actually has on your riding, really. I feel like last year sort of got that confidence back, and then we've been getting on all right this year. So,
and who are the riders that you've been sort of watching over the years, particularly if you think about the mountain course? Presume you watch on boards like most people.
Yeah.
Do
yeah, it's got to be Michael Dunlop, always. The way he rides, his determination, obviously everything he's been through. And yeah, just sort of everything, really. I think obviously he's the man to beat, and he's the one that you sort of want to look at.
And it's interesting, actually, because everybody has their own style, but is his one that you feel that you can copy to a certain extent?
Not sure about that. I'd like to think so, but he is on the limit, isn't he, everywhere. So yeah, that's one of them things I don't think you can really teach, but I'd like to think so.
And have you met him yet?
I've seen him about. I wouldn't say I've sort of met him and said hi to him and things. I've seen him at the Manx, obviously, when he's in his awning working on his bike and stuff like that, but I've not officially met him.
It's really weird, isn't it? I think when you hear these names so often, they are almost like superstars within the sport and whatever, and it must be quite a thing when you're just starting out, as you are really, seeing those people whose names you have been following.
Yeah, it's quite funny. When you watch them so much on the TV and things, like interviews, I feel like then when you see them in person, it's not as like blown away, if that makes sense. because you're so used to watching them. So like at the weekend we went to the BSB and we were sort of stood next to John McGuinness and Dean Harrison, and you can just talk to them as if they're just like everybody else, you know, when actually they're obviously all top TT winners and everything. So,
and that's the lovely thing about this sport, Eddie. I think there is a genuine sense of camaraderie in the paddock. I know people are really supportive if anyone's got any little issues that they can help out with, and that's what's really lovely about it.
Yeah, no, I've found that is a big thing in the sport, like club racing, BSB, even like when we was at the Manx and stuff. If you're ever in need, you can just pop into people's gazebos and awnings and things, ask for help, ask for a hand, and everyone's always happy to help out and lend you tools, lend you a hand and everything. That is also a key thing, going to a sport when you've got sort of a nice friendly people around you, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about your MGP in just a moment, but first of all, what's the day job that you're doing to try and get the money together to do this?
I'm actually a salesman at the minute, so I've been doing this for about 2 years now. I am actually qualified as a welder fabricator, and then I moved into doing sales about 2 years ago now.
And what is it you sell?
I sell insulation for conservatory roofs, which is quite niche.
I love it. And do you think having that sort of sales personality then makes it easier when it comes to things like sponsorship?
Well, we've been struggling at the minute. I pretty much fully sponsor myself. I've got a couple of sponsors, which I'll give a quick shout out to. Gone Rogue Barbershop, John Henry, he helps out with photography and things like that throughout the year. And then we've got Design Hub as well, who sort of do the wrapping on the bikes. And then obviously Flitic Motorcycles, they help out sort of where they can with parts and things, because obviously I run a Yamaha. But other than that, I pretty much fully fund myself. So it's not helped too much so far.
And you know, that must just leave so little money for anything else in your life, I guess.
Yeah, I managed to sort of just get by. You know, I can still have a bit of a social life, but anything other than that, really. Yeah, it does. It's sort of, I'm quite happy with that, to be honest. I'm quite happy to keep spending my money on the bikes, and sort of that's the thing that I want to do, but it does sort of take everything.
Okay, so we're talking about Manx Grand Prix 2025. Just take us back to when you first put that entry in and how that all worked, and when you got the news that, first of all, your interest had been accepted.
Yeah, so I actually originally put an entry in for last year's Manx, but didn't get accepted. So we then tried again this year. I think I probably put my entry in, I'd say probably December time, something like that. And we didn't actually originally get accepted for the 600, which is the bike I run at club racing, and the bike over the last few years I've sort of spent money on here and there, sort of getting it ready. So we didn't get accepted on that. Someone then sort of said to try and put an entry in for the twins. So we stuck an entry in on that, got accepted, but then it turns out the twins that I have that are in bits in my garage were actually too old to run. So then we got put in contact with Ian Locker, who sort of saved us a bit and obviously gave us the opportunity to ride on the pattern, which was absolutely mental week. And then went to the Southern 100 and had a reasonable result, and then got the message 4 weeks before that I could then run the 600 as well. So it was sort of all hands on deck trying to get that ready then for 4 weeks, 4 weeks time.
And you know what, if we're talking about names in the sport, Ian Locker, obviously more than 40 years experience, we know he's now retired from road racing, but he's still going to be there managing the people on his team. What sort of advice was he giving you?
Everything. he even helped me out at the Southern, actually, but he took me for some laps. He was sort of helping out braking markers, turning points, you know, things to look for, which then real helps when you're on the bike, because, you know, when you're hurtling down some of those straights and through those corners, sort of having an idea of already what to look for can just sort of really help and just take a bit of the stress off. But and then even just sort of little setup things, you know, not to sort of drastically change too much. And yeah, he just sort of just helped everywhere he could, really. It was really good, actually. And so did his team. They were a massive help, especially in pit stops and things as well.
Well, you mentioned the Southern 100, obviously a much shorter course down there at Boulogne, but the weather for that was absolutely phenomenal as well. How did you find it?
Yeah, we got lucky with both, actually, this year, the Manx and the Southern. Yeah, the Southern, absolutely brilliant circuit, really well run. Definitely be back there next year as well, all going well. But yeah, that course was mega.
And how did you do results-wise? Did you have something in mind that you wanted to achieve?
To be fair, I actually went there with, I hadn't even thought about results. I realistically saw myself as being at sort of the front mid-pack of the B race, but we actually managed to get into the back of the A race, which I was sort of over the moon with, because I really wasn't expecting that. Results off the top of my head, I don't know exact figures. I want to say sort of 19th, maybe something like that. And I think we got down to a 226.8. So I was over the moon with that, actually.
Yeah, it's just great, isn't it? I think, like you say, it's so well run down there. Again, such a welcoming environment and a great introduction to road racing here in the Isle of Man. Not much time then between that and then preparing for the Manx. Could you give us a sense of just how you spend that time when you're preparing for such an event?
Yeah, it was a bit hectic, really, because obviously the reason obviously we wanted to go, that obviously Locker helped. It took all the stress off of us having to get any sort of bike prep done or anything. It was just the prep for me, really. So then obviously having 4 weeks to get the 600 ready was a bit sort of last minute. But over the years, like I said, I'd sort of slowly been sort of putting things into it to make sure it was ready. So it was just sort of getting all the last little silly bits done, checking the regs, making sure the bike, you know, wouldn't get scrutineering and be turned away. So yeah, it was a little bit hectic, but at the same time, it was all right.
And physically as well, I know a lot of riders spend a lot of time in the gym and just making sure their physical fitness is up to scratch. How do you find that side of things?
Yeah, I quite enjoy that. Go to the gym every day, try and obviously keep fit for it. The Manx was a lot more physically demanding than I thought, but it was mainly the mental side of it because we have a bit of a hectic week. But yeah, going to the gym and the physical side's not too bad. Like I said, it was demanding, but I thought it was the mental side that was probably a bit more.
So then you arrive presumably on the boat. I'm assuming it's a boat. Did you sail in or did you fly?
Yeah, we sailed in. Yeah,
right. So you're sailing in and you just see Douglas Harbour and you're thinking, flipping heck, this is it. I've actually only gone and done it. How is that whole experience, Eddie, when you're thinking there's not really any turning back now?
Yeah, no, I was couldn't stop smiling, really, because like I said, I've known for sort of 5-6 years now that's where I wanted to go. I felt like I was sort of prepared, you know, for whatever was going to happen. But I was just really excited to just get going, really. And then once we've done them first few laps, I just wanted to keep going, really.
And you'll have done the newcomer weekends as well. So presumably you knew kind of quite a few people who were in the same position as you.
So we actually stayed on from the Southern, which actually worked quite well in my favour, because I got accepted quite late. I was quite late on the Twin, but obviously the 600 more. We missed all the newcomers weekends back in whenever they were, February. So we stayed on. Well, I stayed on my own after the Southern. So everyone, all my team went home on the Friday. And then I'd done the newcomers weekend. But yeah, so there's quite a few sort of familiar faces. I'd known a few from my club racing as well. So yeah, it was quite nice actually sort of meeting a few people before you went out there.
Any idea of how many laps of the mountain course you did before MGP got underway?
I'd probably say about 20 odds. I'd done 6 with the instructors on that weekend, and then I'd done a few whilst I was at the Southern. I was driving off whilst we had a bit of time, and I come out a year ago as well in a van with Mark Woods again, done some laps. So yeah, probably between sort of 20 and 30 laps.
And how did you learn it then? Are you the sort of person that takes notes? Do you just commit it to memory? How does it work for you?
I'm quite easily distracted. So sitting and watching onboards and things didn't really work for me. Sort of zone out, you know, and things like that. So I actually played the game for years. As soon as I started racing bike, I bought the game. And I would just do sectors. So I'd do just the first sector over and over and over until I could sort of visualise it in my head. And then I'd do just the second sector, and then I'd do first and second, and then I'd do just a third, you know, things like that, until I could sort of do an entire lap in my head. Obviously watched a few onboards as well to compare, but I found the game, you know, when you're pushing the joystick and things and you're sort of preparing the bike on the game, it's sort of transferred into what I was doing on the bike when I was there. Setting yourself up for the lefts and the rights and getting a feel for where the bumps are and where the front wheel's going to lift and things like that. So I went the game route.
So you reckon if I can get good at the game, that means this is the thing for me, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. You've cracked it.
We'll see about that. Okay, so you have your first outing then. You are obviously behind more experienced riders, but you get that tap on the shoulder and off you go. How does that feel?
I feel like I was so focused, can't really remember, and so probably nervous. But yeah, I was just at that point, I was just ready to get going, really. I hate doing all the sitting around and waiting in your levers and things. I'd rather just get my kit on, get on the bike and go. So yeah, once we got going, a bit of relief, really, actually, I think.
How different was that experience when you then get the chance to go out completely on your own and you can kind of control your own speed or whatever? How did that compare to how you expected it to be?
Oh yeah, that was loads better. I know obviously what the instructor's there for, take you on a nice chilled lap and show you the way, but especially around a long lap like the 37 miles, it gets, you know, like, come on, let's get going a bit. Once you actually come through and you then get to go and do your own lap and sort of scare yourself a little bit, I thought, yeah, that was a lot better.
And similar question, I guess, to you being at the Southern, did you have something in mind that you really wanted to achieve this year?
Yes and no. I knew I wasn't going to go out and break lap records. I did want to be a little bit quicker than I was. Sort of I had not results, but times that I wanted to aim for. To be fair, I actually overdid on the Twin. I didn't think I was going to be doing 114 odd mile an hour. Would have liked a little bit more on a 600, but it is just a stock 600. So whether I would have got much much more. I don't really know.
But you know what's brilliant, Eddie, is you were the best newcomer for 2025. You will always have that as you go forward. Yeah. You know, your name down in the history books, essentially. And, you know, phenomenal results considering you'd never been here before. I think you were lapping at one point over 117 miles an hour. I guess from a point of view of looking ahead, that gives you such a good standing and confidence as well. It goes back to that mental thing too.
Yeah, I was really happy with being obviously the best newcomer in all the four races. I suppose that probably going back to your last question, that probably was my aim to sort of be the best newcomer. But yeah, I was really happy. I think it was 114.2 on the twin and 117.1 on the 600. I think we were fastest through the speed trap of 156 on the twin. That's the first time I've ever even seen a pattern. So those results I was happy with. And I think on the R6, we second or third through the speed trap, 161 mile an hour, which for a completely stock 600 is quite impressive, really. I was quite happy with that.
Yeah, your results overall, super impressive. So you had that 8th place finish in the Super Twin race, 13th in the Super Sport, 8th again in the Junior MGP, 11th in the Senior, and first newcomer home as well. And, you know, you sort of talked about the team. The pit stops were phenomenal too.
Yeah, I think that was one of the main reasons we wanted to go with such an experienced team, is because my team, they're not mechanics. You know, my dad's a builder, Mark Woods is a builder, again, Mark Freeman as well, another one of the helpers. He just sort of worked in the shop at Flitwick Motorcycles, but they all sort of know their way around a bike. But I feel like doing a pit stop, it's obviously such a big event, there's just going to be a lot of pressure. So to have Ian Ocker's team behind us was just, yeah, that was mint, really. Everything ran smoothly, and they were so quick with them pit stops, barely even got a chance to finish sipping the drink.
And how did you handle things? I mean, you said you don't particularly like the sort of hanging around before a race, but the nerve side of things, how do you handle that generally?
Just sort of in and out of the port loo, really. Yeah, just trying to distract myself. Yeah, I don't like all that. I just try and keep my mind busy. I don't really like just sitting there and waiting. So I'm sort of walking off and around. Normally my dad's ringing me, trying to find out where I am and things like that, really.
Do you listen to music or anything like that? Some people like that.
No, I don't. I've tried it. I end up working myself up too much when I listen to music. I just sort of keep myself busy and then chuck my helmet on and then off we go.
And was your dad here with you?
Yeah, he was. He was at the Manx Hen 7. So was my mum. She was over there as well, trying to keep calm, I think.
And what was their reaction once it was all over and they learnt how well you'd done?
A bit of a sigh of relief, I think. I think they were both trying to put on a front, obviously for my sake. But yeah, I think on the inside, they were both a bit nervous.
And you know, Eddie, I mean, it's amazing. You must have left the MGP on such a high, but we know that the blues after such an event like this is a real thing. How were you those few days after it all finished?
Oh, yeah, that was... a few people text me and saying you must have the blues. So I think I was posting a photo of it sort of every other day. And looking at the photos of myself on the bike and doing laps in my head again. Yeah, I just wanted to get back there, really. And I think the sort of thought of knowing it's going to be another year till we get to do it again, it sort of then puts in sort of perspective about how long it is, you know.
Back to the game then, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Keep yourself busy.
And you just talked about the photographs there. And I think this is a really important thing that actually people who are around the course taking these pictures and posting them don't realise how significant it is for riders, particularly at certain points. I guess you can even learn something from seeing those pictures.
Yeah, it's definitely good sort of see where you are on the track, and especially if there's like a group of, you know, say another rider behind you, things like that, you can have a little look. Yeah, I suppose to them they're just taking another photo, but someone like, especially like for me, being my first Manx, those photos sort of mean that's why you do it. But a bit of evidence, I guess, for actually doing it and things, being able to look and sort of see what you look like around the course.
And we should probably mention there is a video of a slight mishap that you had on your way out of Ramsey. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to mention it, but I thought we have to, really. I mean, how did that come about? And were you okay afterwards? Again, talking about that sort of confidence side of things.
Yeah, it was a bit pathetic, really, if I'm honest. I had actually sort of ran up that escape road going into is it May Hill on the left on the Tuesday. My steering damper failed and it fell off, and all the way from sort of Kurt Michael, I was having these massive sort of tank flappers, and it was proper throwing me out the seat. And I just thought, you know, you're just getting quicker, the track's just getting bumpier. Anyway, I then went into May Hill and I thought, I know it gets bumpy into here, just try and keep it pinned, keep the weight on the rear. And then it really got out of shape, and I then had to close the throttle to try and make the corner, and that put the weight on the front. And then it really escalated, and I managed to run it up the escape road, and all the marshals sort of ran over looking like they'd seen a ghost. And someone showed me a photo of the mark my front tyre had made going into there, and it was, yeah, I've never really seen a mark like that from a front. So that was on the Tuesday, so we retired. Wednesday, obviously, we didn't ride, and then went out on the Thursday. I think we'd only done one lap, and yeah, went into there. I tried to go in third gear rather than second and use the engine braking, so because I've got a blip out, it kind of pushes you on a little bit. It was all my fault, but just went in a little bit quick, tried to take a wider line, and then realised I was going too quick, and I knew I was sort of going to hit the curb, and I didn't want to hit it lent over. So I stood the bike up, and that's why it looks so pathetic. It looks like I'm not even trying to make the corner, and just sort of slammed the front brakes on, tried to bump it up the curb and then over, and then the rector cell just sort of caught the left handlebar, and then that just flipped me over the top, really. So I was pretty much absolutely fine, and so was the bike.
Well, we are delighted that you were fine and that the machine was as well, of course. But I guess it just gives us an idea of what is going through your mind at a point like that. You've been going so quickly, you know something's not quite right and you have to have that lightning reaction.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of knew straight away as soon as I ran in that I could see the curb coming a little bit quick. So, yeah, that was straight away in my head. I knew if I hit it, lent over, it was going to be probably a lot worse for me and the bike. So I stood it up, thought I could make the corner by bumping it up the curb, but... yeah, rector cell just sort of caught me off guard, really. I thought I was just going to make it.
Well, never mind. It's all done now. And I'm guessing you've watched that video back, have you?
Yeah, yeah, don't worry. And everyone laughed at me as well. I didn't get any sympathy. Even my sister said I need to go Specsavers, so...
Oh, well, as we're talking, Eddie, we're sort of approaching the end of October. What are the next few months looking like for you? Because we're pretty much at the end of the season, I guess.
Yeah, so we are looking at sort of going for a bike change. So like I said, 600's completely stock. And now obviously in the Super Sport, they're opening up. You know, you can have 750s, 800s and everything. So the thing, when we could tune the 600 and get a bit more oomph out of it. When you tune bikes, you get a lot more, especially 600s, a lot more sort of bottom end and mid-range, not as much top end. So we could go that route, but it's quite a lot of money, and then obviously it gets to the point of maybe being unreliable. So I think we're going to look at maybe changing bikes, maybe like a GSX-R 750 that's already then got the power, you don't have to tune, so you get the reliability with it. So we're just kind of going through the process of sort of weighing everything up at the minute.
Anything in particular on your Christmas wish list?
GSX-R 750.
Well, if Father Christmas is listening, I'm sure you'll make it happen.
Yeah, hopefully. I need to get my bike together, get it sold, and then we can go from there, really, and have a little think.
And again, Eddie, the thing we talk about a lot here is how you present yourself on social media, all the photographs, keeping people up to date with how you're doing. Is that the side of things that you enjoy doing, or is it a little bit more of a chore, do you find?
Yeah, I've never been really big into my social media. I kind of started it when I started racing because I know obviously sponsors and that are going to want to see that. I try. I'm not great. I tried to do new reels and things, but I'm not really too clued up with all technology and things these days. So it's a little bit of a chore, but I like to try and do it, try and keep on top of it, especially if anything does sort of come my way.
So where can people follow you then?
Yeah, so obviously I'm on Instagram. That is Eddie, eddy.wormold. Bit of a funky surname. And then I'm on Facebook as well, Eddie Wormold. So you can find all my things on there.
Oh, Eddie, it's been great catching up with you. Thank you so much for your time. We'll let you go back to selling some insulation this afternoon. Got any interesting customers lined up?
Yeah, I hope so. I was hoping that they weren't all going to start ringing me back now as well when I'm on the call. It's normally the way it works when I'm on the lunch. Yeah, just for a girl as well, obviously a massive thank you to Mark Freeman and Mark Woods, who come out and helped. Aaron Baldwin as well, a friend of mine from racing, come out and helped sort of spanner. Obviously Ian Locker and all of his team. And then my mum, Jen Freeman, all the better halves, Gina. And yeah, big thank you to my dad, obviously, coming out and helping at both events and obviously all through the season. And then I've done a little sort of GoFundMe board as well. There's about 50 people on there, so I won't name all of them. But obviously they know who they were, so that was massively appreciated as well.
Right, Eddie, great to catch up with you. We wish you all the very best for 2026 and we'll see you when you're back over here.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Eddie Wormold, and hopefully his phone was ringing off the hook after we stopped chatting for the podcast, and can't wait as ever to see him back here next year. He's certainly going to be tipped to be one of the ones to watch. And the fact that he had so many people to thank, I think, just shows what a team effort it is for anybody who gets here on the Isle of Man to race in any shape or form. There are so many people that help make it happen. Eddie's links to his social media are on the podcast page, so please do give him a follow. Journey to a Dream is brought to you by the Andrus Racing Association and the Manx Motorcycle Club, which runs the Manx Grand Prix. Again, their details on the podcast page. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, bethesby@manxradio.com is the best email address. And if you enjoy this series, there is another podcast which might be up your street. It's called Startline. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Apple. And this is talking primarily to people who want to be at the Manx Grand Prix next year. There are some episodes out there already, so do check that out. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.